The Lord bless you, dear heart dwellers. Well, this is an interesting message the Lord brought up for this particular season. And I know it's something that's on his heart. He wants to get our attention about. So I've been waning a little bit low on energy and motivation lately. And I didn't realize it, but it had to do with the departure of three souls from the refuge. Very precious souls, but weren't ready for this life. It's a difficult life, let me say that much. And not for everyone. So I wasn't going to mention that, but I had kind of fallen into some chocolate cravings and been a naughty girl. And I felt really bad because I know I'm supposed to be abstaining. And just now, today, I had a beautiful hug from the Lord during prayer, which I needed because I was kind of embarrassed to even look him in the eye. He said, "Welcome back into my arms, my most little one. I say that to remind you of your stature, so that you will ever be aware of how vulnerable you are. Thank you, Lord. Thank you so much for welcoming me back." He continued, "You are still recovering from the departure of three souls. You do not realize how deep your feelings go, and you expect yourself to recover very quickly. May I share with you? I too grieve and take much time to recover when a soul walks away from their vocation. I know you have regrets, even though I have told you, had you done a better job, the result would still be the same. Thank you for sending that letter of apology. That helped." So the situations here, you know, we can't always control what happens. And there were things that needed to be done that I had to mention. But whenever I cause a soul offense, I also want to apologize to them, because even when the Lord disciplines me and I get into trouble, he asks me to forgive him for hurting my feelings. Can you believe that? That's the way he is. He says, "Forgive me for hurting you." So I sent a letter like that. And he said, "That did help, but you must remember the wrath of Satan is working through souls to bring you down. You would do well to ignore the enemy's promptings to cave. He knows you better than you know yourself. One of the hardest things my bride must endure is waiting. There's nothing that discourages as much as waiting for something big to happen. I want you all to know that this is a true suffering. Offer it up as such. Then when things begin to really happen, you will be wishing it never happened. Such is the fickleness of human nature, forever trying to avoid suffering in whatever form it comes. Every day there are sufferings that come to visit you, but I hold back many, even the majority, because I know the weakness of your frame. That is why it is important for you to thank me profusely each day for keeping you from greater troubles. Please, my brides, I work very hard to protect you, but when I do allow something, know that it was with much forethought and deliberation, and that I saturate you with graces to receive it meekly and carry it without complaint. I cannot even begin to tell you how blessed I am when you do that. But I will say, it creates in me a profound sense of well-being and gratitude that you received it so well. Because of the apostate teachings of the modern church, Christians do not expect to suffer and feel double condemnation when the rest of my body accuses them of hidden sin. How far they are from the truth. If they could see rightly, they would see a privileged soul being blessed with many more graces rather than a pitiful sinner trying to appear like a Christian and failing. Did I not say, woe to you rich, for you have your reward? But blessed are the poor in spirit. Understand, I was not only referring to spiritual poverty or meekness. I was most definitely speaking also to the rich, who tend to be haughty and self-sufficient, scorning the poor. Oh, how this apostate teaching denigrates and ruins Christians who do not listen with their hearts to my words. As a result, they believe pursuing prosperity, intelligence, wealth, accomplishments is the sign of a true Christian. No, Lazarus was not poor, but very rich, and the Christian worthy of my name. He's talking about Lazarus the beggar. He did not consider the doings of the world worthy of his life. Rather, he was like Mary, who sat at my feet and drank in all I had to say. He meditated on the scriptures day and night and looked forward to my coming. Yes, it may surprise you to know he is a real person, not just a character I made up to get a point across. And today you have many Lazaruses alive who consider participating in this world a waste of their time. Some of them were severely damaged as children. Others were a big success and left the world because of its filth. Well, I am about to call the question, and those who truly belong to me will be stripped of their worldly accolades and reduced to homelessness. This will be the best thing that could ever happen to them, and they will be eternally grateful to give up their worldly accumulations to be counted worthy of my name. For those of you who are skeptical of this truth, look up the poor and poverty and see how many times I confronted the evil Pharisees for their greed and declared the poor widows to be exceptionally holy. And what about my life? What about how I chose to live? Does that not speak volumes to those who dress in finery to go to the temple and worship? Yes, they are seen and respected for their stature by men, but not by the angels and the saints looking on. They see beyond the finery and all the way back to the wages withheld from their poor laborers, the payoffs made to judges, the shady deals made behind closed doors to defraud the helpless and the poor. Yes, this prosperity teaching is producing generations of so-called Christians not fit for heaven. My people, listen with your hearts to all the stories in the scriptures and know that my life was the ultimate example of how you are to live yours. Amen.